Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Randy Sweet, my colleague at MRM. Randy and I have been discussing the handcart companies that came across the plains during the 1850s from basically Iowa City to Salt Lake Valley. And one of them that really stands out, of course, I should say really two of them, were the Willie and Martin handcart companies that met with some serious tragedy in the Wyoming area because primarily they left too late in the season. And the reason why they left too late in the season was they ran into all sorts of difficulties. There's a book that you have, Randy, that actually has what they call these list of dominoes, where they talk about some of the things that went wrong and why the Willie and Martin handcart companies met with such tragedy. What's the name of that book?
The book, Bill, is it's called Tragedy and Triumph. It's written by Howard and Corey Bangerter. I actually picked the book up in a LDS bookstore in Palmyra, New York, a couple years back. But you can get this, the Church Museum across from Temple Square. You mentioned that in a previous show. It's available there. They have quite a few books there if you are in the local area to pick up. But this book has a picture of the dominoes that are actually displayed in a glass display case in Martin's Cove, Wyoming.
And the Mormons do have a visitor center in that area where if people want to go visit this place, and you've been there and you've pulled the hand cart just to get a feel for what it was probably like for many of those people back then.
Yes.
What are some of those dominoes that they talk about?
Basically, there's about 11 or so dominoes, and they're lined up. It's ironic, in the display case, they're kind of tilting a little bit. As you mentioned just a second ago, left England late. That's one of them. Many elderly and children. Handcarts not built. They weren't built in time. They had to, when they got to Iowa City, they had to build them themselves. They weren't ready. And it set them back another 2 to 3 weeks.
And of course, the problem with that is you're using green wood. It doesn't have a chance to dry. And so these hand carts are going to start falling apart as they're pulling them across the plains.
Yeah. And ironically, Bill, even the other companies, the Martin company, ran across the same issue. When they got there, two or three weeks after the Willie company had set out, they ran into the same issue. No hand carts. Mm-hmm. They had to build them. Mm-hmm. Another one was they lost oxen in a storm. They had to transfer, just for provisions, they had to transfer like 100-pound bags of flour to the carts, which added more weight, which slowed them down. The Martin Company made a horrible decision out in the middle of Wyoming just a few days before it actually started snowing to lighten their loads to go faster. James Martin ordered a bunch of articles of clothing to be burned. So blankets, clothes, they just burned them so they could lighten the load. So that just put them in more dire stretches. Again, rations were cut. Then they were gone.
We had mentioned the rations before and how the men were given what, like 1,500 calories?
Yeah, about a pound of flour.
And they're burning over 4,000 calories pulling these things. Well, after a while, your body can't handle that. So they've got everything going against them.
By the time they hit the point in Wyoming where this visitor center is, Martin's Cove, this whole area, these guys were basically just starving to death. They were emaciated. There was problems with just their hygiene. The book mentions lice. Mm. They were on the edge of death, basically. Mm. And the last two dominoes, their cattle eventually started getting weakened. They died. And then we've talked about this in a previous show, October 19th of 1856, the snow hit, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. And without a rescue, they're going to all perish, basically.
Now, we've been asking the question throughout this series is, well, why would otherwise people who use common sense venture out into such a dangerous situation, put themselves in such a precarious situation? It goes back to following the leadership. When they first when before they even start out, and we've mentioned this man, Levi Savage, warns the people that they're making a bad mistake. And he gives this very impassioned plea that, you know, I'm going to be there with you if you do it anyway, but you're going to be met with some problems. Now, he's rebuked by Willie, James Willie,
yes,
who's the head of the handcart company that he belongs to. This is at the beginning. And that then we also talked about later on, Franklin Richards, who's a Mormon apostle, meets them as they're already on the way.
Actually, he was coming back from the East Coast, going west, and he runs, him and a kind of elite team of missionaries run into the Willie Company in Florence, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And by that point, he had heard that Levi Savage had basically
expressed
some doubts, and he knew that they had actually put it to a vote after James Willie rebuked Savage after Savage's plea with the people. We should just wait till the spring. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to do it. They actually put it to a vote. They voted unanimously to continue on. But it was in Florence, Nebraska when Franklin D. Richards comes on mm-hmm. the scene and basically tries to inspire the people. He refers back to the divine plan. It's the Lord's plan. Keep in mind, Bill, these people who are coming from Europe, they were under the impression from their leaders that they needed to flee Babylon. They needed to come to Zion. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why they kept going. It's like, it was basically Brigham's thought that David Roberts brings out in the book Devil's Gate. It's better to die carrying your handcart than to die in Babylon.
Wow. Now, the problem for a lot of these people is they have a very limited understanding of what's really going on in Salt Lake City.
Yes, that's very
The polygamy critical. Issue was yes. virtually unknown except as an evil rumor in Europe.
Yes.
Many of them were under the impression that polygamy was not going on. In fact, the Doctrine and Covenants, even as late as 1866 Doctrine and Covenants, I have an 1866 Doctrine and Covenants. Even at that late date, they're still denying that polygamy is going on, that they don't practice it.
It's kind of ironic because basically in 1852, the Mormons went public with it here in Utah.
That's right.
And unfortunately for the Latter-day Saints that made up the handcart companies, the wagon companies that migrated to Salt Lake, they didn't have access to the internet,
no,
the cable TV. They didn't know what was going on. So the rumors about polygamy were actually being denied by leadership that were over in Europe. And so these guys, they just kind of went with it. I think one of the points that we should bring out to our listeners, Bill, is that I think if the Mormons that were there, again, very sincere, devout, following their leaders, if they knew that polygamy was being practiced openly in Utah, that it was a commandment, you needed to do it, et cetera, et cetera, I believe a lot of them wouldn't have even joined the church in the first place. And for sure, they wouldn't have made this several thousand miles journey from Liverpool, England, where they set forth on the ships all the way out to the Utah Valley.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it probably would surprise many Latter-day Saints to know that polygamy is still much a part of Mormon doctrine, though it's not being practiced the same way. And I think we can't emphasize this enough. The Mormon Church still today is doing what they did in the 19th century, denying that they believe in polygamy at all, when certainly it's never been denounced that Mormonism teaches that there is going to be polygamy in the next life. They call it here in Salt Lake, they call it celestial polygamy. And as we've mentioned, there are right now three Mormon apostles who are sealed to two women, to their deceased wives, and they're sealed to the wife that they currently live with now. And they have every intention of living with at least those two women in the next life. So when you hear Mormons say that we don't have anything to do with polygamy anymore, that's just not true, folks. But I think you're right, Randy. If a lot of these immigrants really knew what was going on in Utah at the time they joined, they might have either left the church at that time, or if they had known about this, never joined in the first place. Because you imagine, this is a time when the Mormon Reformation is taking place in Utah. Now, they probably did not know a lot of the details of that, because what came with the Reformation were also some fiery sermons on blood atonement, that if you are to ever divulge your covenants in the temple or whatever and things like that, that you would suffer your life to be taken. And
yeah, if you left the church, then that was a big problem back then.
Yeah.
If you left the church, you were an apostate, yeah, you'd be looking over your shoulder if you were fleeing Utah at the time. The whole Reformation idea, you just mentioned it, Bill. A lot of stuff was going on. There was fiery sermons being preached by different people, but basically a lot of people had to get rebaptized. They rededicated themselves. They were, people were made to openly confess sins that they didn't even commit. It was like they were right point A to point B in a straight line, keeping people in line.
Yeah, there are basically there's during a certain month period, there are these really fiery sermons on the blood atonement issue. And for those of us reading it in a 21st century setting, we go back, we look at that as, oh my goodness. Yet here are the Mormon people. They are just following this. Do you think maybe a lot of them were just scared? Where do you go? Let's say you hear these sermons and it's starting to really frighten you that your leaders are going way out of control. What are you going to do? You're going to have to go back across the plains to get away from these people or keep on going to California or Oregon or a place like that. And where do you go once you leave the only true church? Because that's what they're being told.
See, and that's one of the myths that's promulgated, I think, even today in Mormonism, that all these people were faithful. They came out here. That truth be told, if you read Devil's Gate, the book Devil's Gate by David Roberts, a lot of people ended up leaving the church after they got here. I mean, even before they even got here, a lot of them just stopped in New York, Boston, and they stayed. When they started off, just an example, the Martin Company, they had like over 850 people starting out. It went down to about 650 when they started in Iowa. But it's estimated that during the whole pioneer years, when people came out from 1847 through the 60s, upwards of a third of the people that came out here from different places, particularly Europe, the East Coast, et cetera, they left the church. Some of the sub-captains in the Willie and Martin Handcart companies left the church. John Chislett, Amundsen was a sub-captain. These guys left. Amundsen even wrote a book called Secret History. That's a very good read for our listeners if you want to delve more into this stuff.
Okay, we're going to be talking more about this tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.